You're listening to the Rev Ministries Podcast. This podcast is taken from the Rev Landon Schott sermons from his home church and travels around the world. For more resources or information, please check out our website at therev.com or check out our iTunes store.
John 6, verse 5, it says, when Jesus looked up, he saw a great crowd coming toward him. He said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat? He asked them only to test him, for he had already in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered, it would take more than half a year's wages and enough bread to buy food for everyone to have one bite. Another disciple, Andrew, Simon Peter, spoke up. Here's a boy, someone say boy, with five small barley loaves of bread and two small fish. But how far will this go among so many? Jesus said, have everybody sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and everybody sat down. About 5,000 were there. Verse 11, Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them. They were seated as much as they wanted. He did this the same with the fish. And when they all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, gather the pieces. Make sure that there are all the leftover. Make sure nothing's wasted. Verse 13, so they gathered them. They filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the five barley loaves left over from those that had eaten. The title of this message is Unselfie. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for United Night. Lord, I thank you, God, that we're gathered here, Lord, to make you famous. And Lord, we declare, Jesus, that you are the highest authority. We declare you're the King, you're the Lord of our lives. Lord, we declare that your word is true. We believe that it's your word. So we declare, Lord, make it a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. Lord, I pray that you give us ears to hear, God, minds to understand, and hearts to receive, God, what you're saying to us tonight. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said amen and amen. Philippians 2, 3 says, do nothing, someone say nothing, out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, valuing others above ourselves. This scripture goes, leave it up there for a while, guys. This scripture goes against pretty much everything that you're taught directly and indirectly in our society. Our society is about being number one, being the best, being not only on the football team, getting on varsity, not getting on varsity, being a starter, not being a starter, but being a captain, not being a captain, but getting a scholarship to go to university, and then the pattern starts over all over again. It's about honor this and honor that and the highest this and who makes the most money. I'm a big football fan, and the Seahawks are my team. I'm from Seattle. They're awesome. And hater raid. And dude, the Broncos, Peyton's old, dude. He's like in the retirement home. Anyway, I didn't come to debate with you. Seahawks have been there twice in a row. They're the best. Anyway, Patriots cheated. Okay. Hey, if Miss America said they cheated, he cheated. I'm a big Seahawks fan, and nothing drives me crazy more in sports than when a player holds out his contract when he signed a contract to be on the team. They do this. So they're getting paid millions of dollars, and then they hold out because they want to be the highest paid player at their position. And really, you can't blame the guy that's doing it, because everybody's doing it, because that's what we do in our culture. Is we want to be the best. We want to make the most money. We want to have everyone know our name. We want the most likes. We want the most followers, and that's what we look. We don't even have to be famous anymore. We can just be Instagram famous. Just so you know, Instagram famous is like being rich in Monopoly, okay? Is not real, right? But this is the culture that we live in, that everybody needs to know your name. Everybody needs to like you. Everybody needs to follow you. You have to be the best. But is that what the Bible teaches us? Is that how we're called and taught to follow after Christ? Listen, we live in the selfie, someone say selfie, generation. Thank you, Kim Kardashian. It helps to her Listen to this, watch this. Over 1 million selfies are taken every day in the USA. Over a million. We contribute to that on United Nights, right? Over 1 million selfies are taken every single day. This is crazy. 36% of those are edited to enhance the photo or make someone look more attractive. Come on, girls, say shame, shame, know your name. You're like, I don't need to go to the tanning bed. I'll just put this filter on there. All the Mexicans are like, what are these white people doing? I felt bad. They gave him the guy right here a pogo stick. He's like, what the heck's a pogo stick? Side note, guys, I guess Mexican kids didn't play the pogo stick. We need to make sure we switch that next time. Pogo stick. I didn't have a pogo stick anywhere, but 64% of people, watch this, admit to Googling themselves like you didn't know who you were. Come on, somebody. If you have to Google yourself, you live in a selfie generation. How about this one? The average person, you ready? Spends 8 hours and 41 minutes a day on electronic devices. The average person spends more time a day with electronic device than they do sleeping. Selfie generation. The average teenager spends 51 hours a week online. 51 hours a week online. So girl, next time a guy asks you out, just check the usage on his phone. Be like, can I see your phone for a second? Just check his usage, okay? Because if he's been on 51 minutes, I guarantee he doesn't have a job. I just help you out. How about this one? This one's crazy. This one really isn't a secular statistic. This is more to the selfie church. But this has everything to do with selfiness. 3 to 5% of those who attend church tithe. This is crazy. Can I just pastor you for a second? Okay, that means majority of your people that you know steal from God. There's no point of like making it sound nicer than it is. You know what I mean? It's like, well, he didn't mean to shoot him. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Look at, the Bible says in Malachi, if you're not tithing, if you're not a tither, then you are a robber or you're a thief from God. So if you come in with a gun or you come in with a knife or however you do it, or you just withhold it, it belongs to God and you withhold it. It's quiet in here. See, if you don't trust God with your money, it means you won't trust him with your marriage. You won't trust him with your fiance. You won't trust him with your job. You won't trust him with your scholarships. You won't trust him with anything. Because the Bible says that where your treasure is, so you're where your heart is. Look at, we don't take up tithes and offerings and tribes and do it on United Nights to pad the youth ministry budget. When we were breaking out in tribes and completely reestablish and redesign the youth ministry, I said, we got to get texted to give. We got to do something in our tribes because we have to continue to give on a weekly basis. Not that Pastor Brad's rolling around on like airboards in the office. Like, woohoo, tithe dollars. That would be cool, though, if we had those in the offices. I'm just saying. That would be cool. But look at the reason that we have you give is to help you. See, stingy, this is not even in my notes, so I want to take this moment to teach, because if you don't break this understanding now, then you'll have the same struggles as your parents. Because if you can't trust God with your money, you're not going to trust God with any other important area of your life. And that's why you always date the wrong people. That's why you always go to the wrong, that's why you're always living in fear, because you don't trust God. I have a pastor friend, and he says, he asks people that want to date his daughters, the guys, the first thing he does is he checks their tithe records. Could you imagine?
Like, sir, can I date your daughter? You're like, of course, look at me. Of course he's going to say yes.
You know, he's like, oh, I'll get back to you. And goes and checks your giving records. Someone asks him, they're like, Pastor, why do you check the giving records of the guys that want to date your daughter? He goes, because I'm never going to let my daughter date a thief. Why don't we give? Because we're selfish. Why don't we give to God? Because we live in a selfie generation. Why don't we give to God? Because we have to have that pair of sneakers. Why don't we give to God? Because we gotta get the upgrade. Because if my phone doesn't flash on selfie mode, I don't know how I'm gonna sleep at night. No, you don't understand. You just push on it harder, and all of a sudden it takes you to the text message faster. You have to have it. Right? So you rob from God so you could take more pictures of yourself. Come on, are you hearing me? Look, a youth pastor has to help you, or we're just up here letting you be stupid. This is what this world tells you, that there's not enough money. My friend was on this little small plane, and he looked over, and he was sitting just next to us, like him and like four people on this little teeny little puddle hopper, you know, jumper plane, and he looked over, and he was sitting next to one of the world's most famous golfers. And they started talking and all this stuff, and this guy's making, you know, over $100 million, just an insane amount of money. And this golfer says to my buddy, he's like, yeah, pretty soon I'll be able to retire. He's like, you make more money than anyone. What do you mean pretty soon you'll be able to retire? Well, I don't have to worry about it anymore. When is enough? When you live a selfish lifestyle, it's never enough. Don't you ever notice that when you're kind of a kid or yesterday, there's always something that you gotta have? And you kind of like obsess about it, like you gotta have it if you just had it, or if you just had this pair of sneakers, if you just had this phone, if you just had this car, if you just had a boyfriend, if you just had a girlfriend, and you think about it all the time, and then as soon as you get it, you don't really care about it? You know what that's called? A selfie generation. Listen. They sell these metal devices that you extend out, kind of like a walking stick for blind people, but at the end of them, there's this little hook for your phone. And it allows you just to take better pictures of yourself. Are you following me? Someone made millions of dollars to help people just take pictures of themselves. Guys, we live in a selfie generation. Let me give you some better questions to ask yourself. How many minutes a day, this is just for you, do you spend time in prayer, Bible reading, and devotions? 8 hours and 41 minutes a day, and you can't spend 15 minutes with the Lord when you wake up in the morning. We live in a selfie generation. You can memorize Beyonce's or Rihanna's next Antichrist song, or whatever that is, whatever seductive, foul, perverted. Who's the guy who's on the cover of iTunes? I just started laughing when I saw it, like Louise, Yaweezy, Lawee. Anyone know what I'm talking about? What? It's not Lil Wayne. I know Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne needs Jesus. I don't know. Super Mario Brother rapper something. How about this one? How much time a month do you spend serving? Serving usher, serving children's ministry, serving, how about anything but yourself? How often do you attend tribe, where you're investing into others? Do you know that when you go to tribe, you bless other people's lives? Do you know that when you're plugged into a tribe, you build community And what you do is you strengthen. You might be the iron that sharpens someone else's iron. You know the enemy doesn't want you going to tribe. You know the enemy doesn't want you plugged in to a group of strong Christians. Is it amazing why it can be so challenging to get to tribe? All of a sudden, like 10 things come up. But when someone invites you out to go do something stupid on Friday, you're like, hey, my schedule's free. How often are you at tribe? How about this one? Does your prayer life only revolve around you and your needs? Could you imagine being God and when people talk to you, they don't even talk to you to talk to you. They just ask you for something. Have you ever had a friend that the only reason they call you is when they want something? You know what I'm talking about? It's like when you see like the phone ring, you're like, what do they want? It's not like, cool, I haven't talked to them in so long, or sweet, you know, hey, let's catch up, how you been, or let's hang out. You know, you just know they want something. Is that what your prayer life is like with God? Is that what your devotion time is like with God? Or do you like being with God? Or do you like spending time with Jesus? 2 Timothy 3, verse 3 says this, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Watch this. This is what the Bible says, where people will be lovers of themselves. This is what the Bible warns us that's coming. You had no idea that the selfie stick was a segue of the Antichrist. Just kidding, just kidding. People were like throwing it down. Listen, young people, we have to be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. We have to think about more than ourselves, more than what we're going to wear, what we're going to do, what we're going to go to school. Listen, we can't get caught up. Listen, the Bible says to not live according to the patterns of the world, but we got to be transformed. What does that mean? It means our thought life is transformed. It means that we don't live for everybody to see our picture and to see what we're doing and to feel good about ourselves, but we live for a bigger purpose. I love the story of the boy that's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And because Jesus is questioning his disciples. He knew what he was going to do, but he asked his disciples, all right, figure this out. What are we going to do? How are we going to feed 5,000 people? And one of the disciples says, the only food we have is this little kid's, this little junior hires. He kind of stinks. This junior high kid who's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Watch. And it wasn't enough. It wasn't much. But it's amazing when you take a little bit of what you have and you give it to God. You know, a lot of people don't give because they don't think it's much. But it's amazing when you give what you have, no matter how small it is, when you give it to the purposes of God, what God will do with just a little amount. The Bible says this, Zechariah 4, verse 10, it says, do not despise the days of small beginnings. Listen, it doesn't take much to live an unselfie life. Is all you have to be willing to do is give God what's in your hand. Give God what's in your life. The little bit of time that you have. The little bit of money that you have. The little bit of talent that you have. I love the United Dance Crew. And every time they get done with the dance, if they're freestyling or whatever they're doing, they're always pointing up like the football player. I love it because the last thing that you see is them giving honor to God in everything. Well, is that secular music they're dancing to? I have no idea. I have no idea what beat that is. I have no idea. But it's all I know is these guys come and they pray with us like they're one of us. They worship like they're with us and they give glory to God. Look at, they're taking their talents and they're giving it to God. What do you have in your hand to give to God tonight? What do you have in your life? Doesn't matter how old you are. Look at, everybody's always waiting till they get to a certain place at life till they serve God, and that's how you waste your life. What can you give God today? What can you give God tonight? It doesn't take much to live an unselfie life. It's interesting, in 1 Kings chapter 17, there's a widow woman. She just had a small handful of flour, and God took that small handful of flour, and it was enough to make cakes over and over and over for her to provide. In Mark chapter 12, a woman came and gave 2 small coins, and when she came and gave that little amount, Jesus stopped the whole assembly and said, this woman gave more than everybody else. In 2 Kings, there was a woman. She had 2 small boys that were going to be taken into captivity, and she just had a little bit of oil. And the prophet said, go take that little bit of oil and pour it into as many jars as you can and go sell it. And that little bit of oil provided freedom for her family. Or the small loaves and the fish, whatever it is all you need to do is take that little bit and give it to God. Listen, it's not unselfie with the little things. You won't be unselfie or unselfish with little things or with big things until you're unselfish with little things. The little things matter to God. I'm reminded of the story of Exodus chapter 4. You all know the stories with the burning bush and Moses. And the bush is on fire. God's speaking to Moses through the bush. It's not like the Exodus movie where he's like that creepy little mad little kid. You know the movie I'm talking about? Yeah. Little mad, angry, childlike God? No. So God's speaking to Moses, and he's calling him. He's having this discussion with him. I love it when it says in verse 1 of Exodus chapter 4, Moses answered, what if they don't believe me? Talking about the Israelites and the Egyptians. What if they don't believe me? Or what if they say the Lord did not appear to you? Verse 2, then the Lord said to Moses, what is in your hand? God just asked him this question. What do you have in your hand right now? Verse 3, a staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. And Moses threw it on the ground. Look at the word of God says. And it became a snake. And he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by its tail. And he took it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took a hold of it. And the snake turn back into a staff. God was showing Moses, watch, that whatever he had, even though it wasn't much, that God would use it for his glory. So he said to Moses, what do you have? I got a stick. I got a staff. That's all I have. He said, what is this? He's my staff. And he threw it down, and it became the snake. He said, grab it again, and he took it. Now he said, go do that in front of Pharaoh. And he goes, and you all know the story. He throws it down before Pharaoh, and it becomes a snake. And the magicians are like, hey, we do witchcraft. The devil's full of us. We're full of demons. We can do. And they threw it down. And theirs became snakes. And then Moses' staff that became a snake went around, and it ate all of the other snakes. And then he went and picked it up, and it became a staff again. As he's like the magician. I mean, just Moses' magic. I mean, rocking this staff. And then everywhere he went, God used the staff to perform great exploits where he raised it over the sea and it parted. And over, this staff became a tool for Moses to use to give God glory, to make God famous. But it was just, watch, a silly staff. It wasn't much. I'm pretty sure that Moses didn't go to show and tell at school and be like, hey, I got this cool staff. He'd be like that weird kid that talked to himself, you know, and just sat by himself in the corner talking to him. It's a great, cool staff, you know. And it just that. Watch. Here's what I wanted to get you. Okay, the staff wasn't part of Moses' plan. What are you gonna do? I'm gonna go to college with my staff. It's gonna do really cool things. No. Watch. It was just what was in his hand. Are you here with me? See, you're trying to come up with great things that make give God a reason to use you when he just wants to use what you have. Well, if I could just play drums like Tim, or if I could just, you know, preach like Isaac, if I could only, you know, had insight like Pastor Brad, if I could only do that, and compare myself, and if I was just like this person, no, God's saying, no, you have something in your hand right now that I'm waiting to use. Watch, if you could just become a little more unselfie. So watch this, the staff isn't glamorous. The staff isn't cool. The staff is just what he had at the time. Can I show you something real cool in God's word? Because you can't just read the Bible, you have to. So you only get this kind of stuff if you actually read Exodus, okay? But in Exodus 4:20, put it up on the screen, look at this. So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. See, this is why you can't just read the Bible. This is why you can't just have that lady with her creepy little voice read you the Bible in the morning on our Elevate app, daily Bible reading. This is why what Pastor Whalen talked about this morning, you have to study God's word. You have to meditate on God's word. This is why you have to ask God questions. You want to grow spiritually? Let me see your hands. Who wants to spiritually grow? Start asking God questions as you read the word every day.
Whoa!
Change your life. Change your life. You start asking out loud God to speak to you as you're reading your word. Dude, it will start you on an adventure that you're not even ready for. It's craziness. Because here's the thing is when you ask God questions about himself, he talks back. Just don't be surprised when he doesn't talk back right away. Sometimes he'll talk back when you're in the next period of class or when you're driving to work or when you're just doing something crazy. I found this, that God speaks to me majority of the time when I'm not ready for him to speak to me. God said to Moses, I will use, he said, what's in your hand? And Moses said, what? A staff. My staff. But then what does this scripture say? It's not Moses' staff anymore. This kid's got it. It's the staff of God. Are you here, Elevate United? Look at it. When you take whatever you have and you throw it before the Lord, see, when he went to pick it back up again, it wasn't his anymore. It was God's staff that he used for God's purposes. See, when you realize that your singing ability isn't for you, when you realize that your brain isn't for you, when you realize your talents aren't for you, when you realize your attractiveness isn't for you, when you realize, Esther, that there's more about being fine than just how you look and how many people like your pictures, that God has put beauty on your physical ability because God wants to draw men to you so that you lead men to him. When you realize that your talent, when your smart aleck ability isn't just to make people laugh or people drawn to you. It's a talent. Listen, when you realize that what they call ADD or ADHD isn't so that you can go have a pill to make you stop. It's God made you wired to move because he wants to use you for his glory. Here's what I'm telling you. You think you need something great. You think you need to be something great. Then you pretend that you're something great to convince God to notice you. When God notices what no one else does. And if you would stop trying to get other people's attention, if you would stop trying to get other people to notice you, and just realize that you always have an audience with God, God's just waiting for you to become a little more unselfie in whatever you have to give him. Majority of people hold back because they don't think it's enough when God just wants what's in your hand. In fact, that's what Jesus did. Jesus gave God what was in his hands. Let me show you in the word. John chapter 20. Verse 24, it says, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, was one of the 12 disciples who came with Jesus. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Through the doors, though the doors were locked, I love this, Jesus came and stood amongst them. Though the doors were locked, you know, no man can lock God out of their life. With his unbelieving heart, Jesus transcended through the doors, through the walls, and went to one man, Thomas, to teach him an unselfie lesson. Here's what he said to him. Thomas, verse 27, Put your finger here in my hand. Reach out your hand. Put it into my side. The Greek word put is the word that means thrust. Thrust your hand into my side where the sword went. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas responded the only way that's possible. He said, my Lord, my God. Jesus said to Thomas, he said this, put your finger in my hand. Put your finger into the holes where the nails went. He said, I want to show you what unselfie feels like. I want you to remember what unselfie looks like. The hands of Christ. Look at my hands. Remember this. He knew we would be teaching about this. He knew for years we'd be preaching about this. He said, put it. He said, thrust it. He said, look at this. This is what unselfishness is. When Jesus didn't feel like dying on the cross, when he said, Father, is there any other way? When he asked his disciples to pray for them, but they fell asleep. When he went and bore the sins of all humanity on his shoulders, that is what unselfishness looks like. When you put others before yourselves, that's what unselfishness looks like. And here's what the Bible says. It says this in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live in the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hear me, Elevate United. We should bear the marks of unselfishness in our lives. We should have marks on our lives and our hands and our hearts of actions of unselfishness where we put others before ourselves, where we go out of our way for others, where we think about others, we pray for others, that we live unselfish life. Listen, this is what the Bible says in Matthew 16:24. Jesus said to his disciples, if you want to be my disciple, you must first watch, deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. He said this, prepare for persecution. Prepare for the nail marks. Prepare for the pain of walking after me. Look, you might lose friends. You might lose popularity. You might lose likes on social media. That doesn't mean a thing. But what you will be is my true disciple. Stand to your feet all over this place. You know what makes you a disciple? Was you deny yourself. You know what makes you a disciple? When you don't sleep with him or her, when you could, but because you follow him. You know what makes you a disciple? Is when you put others before yourself. You know what makes you a disciple? Is when your prayer life consists of others and not just your needs. As I was praying and getting ready for this night, I was reminded of Jesus' nail-pierced hands. I wanted to ask you tonight, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? What do you have to give God tonight? And as I was praying and preparing for tonight's message, felt like the Lord began to show me that every single person in here, from the front to the balcony, you have something to give God tonight. You have something to give God tonight. And as I was praying for you, I saw this vision of this nail-pierced hand, and it was lifted high. And I heard the Holy Spirit say this, they all have worship to give me. Watch, the greatest place of unselfishness is the place where hands are lifted high to a holy God. The greatest place of unselfishness is the place of worship where you're declaring that Jesus is that greatest name above all names. He is the highest authority. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How do you live an unselfie life? By living a life of worship to a mighty God.
Thank you for listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. If this message has blessed you, we want to encourage you to share it with a friend. For more information about this ministry and how you can make a difference by financially supporting us, please visit our website at therev.com. For full-length sermons and episodes on audio or video, please visit us at therev.com or search for us on iTunes.